So tonight, we're having a Kingdom Sunday, which means, for those of you that are visiting or new, it means that we've got several preachers tonight. We've got five people that are going to be sharing, and they each have a slot of time, so we're not going to go into midnight unless revival breaks out, hallelujah, which is going to happen, amen. You guys must leave now, because you can't hear what they're not going to hear what the previous person said. So they individually, I'll tell you the topic just now. They heard from the Lord, and they're going to just be sharing from their hearts. So if there's any overlapping, that means it's God, and it's always amazing to see how God just bring things to the together. So just that you know, they didn't compare notes or speak to each other, or they didn't hear what the previous person said. Always really exciting. But especially this evening, we're having the young guns, yes. Young guys and girls that are going to be sharing, and some of them are not that young, but they are the upcoming leaders, and I want to just encourage you to open up your heart and to receive. The Bible says, let no one despise your youth, I've actually learned from these people so much over the years, and so I'm very excited to be receiving from them again tonight. So let's put our hands together, and Mr. Matthew. The topic for tonight is the city whose builder and architect is God. The city whose builder and architect is God.
Get started. Okay, so my title is To Get Stuck In, You Can Do It. Okay. So I'm just going to start with a scripture. In Luke 19, it says, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minors, and said, do business till I come. Now, I encourage you to go read the whole parable. But Jesus emphasizing here the importance of doing business or work until he comes back again. And if you go on from this, you'll see he actually rewards those servants that did the work. Now, I'm going to show you from another scripture where Paul said the similar thing to the Thessalonians. He says that you also aspire to lead in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 to 12, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, as we commanded you. It also says, now I'm going to show you how Paul actually he did it when he was in ministry. And it says in Acts 20, verse 33 to 34, I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. And I really believe that the Lord is saying, telling us to get stuck in, to get involved with what he has for us to do. Be it your passion, and I encourage you to ask the Lord, what is my passion? What is my vision? What is my purpose? Because you can do it. This is what, to do it excellently. I've been reading Daniel, and he had an excellent spirit. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I want to share an illustration with you quickly of from sport that I've learned we can also apply in this, and this time it's rugby, and basically my analogy goes, say you know when you're playing you must play a full out, you can't hold back, you can't play half-heartedly. If you tackle people, you've got to do it full out, because if you do it half-heartedly, you're going to get injured and you're going to get hurt. It's the same way as you can apply it to life. You know, if you're walking in obedience, and if you are doing your passion, you focus, you're less tended to get hurt. And in the same way, also if you are running along with a ball or whatever, and someone hits you hard to the ground and knocks you to the ground, You're not gonna stay on the ground and say, "Hey, I'm hurt," and you're gonna cry and all that. No, you're gonna get up, and you're gonna say, "No, you know, is that all you got?" And then you're gonna play and you're gonna play on. And I really think we can apply that to life. Okay, so I just and I just want to say sometimes we just need to fix our eyes on Jesus and to push through. And a picture, and I just, you can do it. That's what I want to say. You can do it. And Jesus believes you can do it. That's the most important thing. I can say, I believe in you, but the most important thing is that Jesus believes in you. And you can do it. Amen. Okay. So there's a picture I got. So the picture was of a bush, right? And at first it like uprooted, and then I was like, no, plant it again. And so we planted it, and then I felt, put fertilizer around it and so on, and water it, and then I saw that it had, its branches were bare, it had no leaves. And then slowly but surely the leaves started appearing on the bush, green leaves. And then fruit. And I asked, well, what was this picture for? And I believe the Lord was saying, as we grow, and as we find our passion, as we find our vision, and as we ask God, and we start living in that, and we're doing what He has for us to do, those green leaves are going to start growing, and fruit is going to start growing. And that's what was in my heart. And what was my heart, that the Lord will impart faith to you that you can do it, and you can really go out and do it because you can. And often there's, you can do it. That's what the Lord says. Okay. Yes, I did want to pray. Okay, so Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we want to thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your love towards us, the heart that you have for each one, each and every person here, Lord, and their passions, their goals, what they have got in their hearts. And we pray for faith to complete that which you've started in our hearts, Lord, to complete, finish the race strong. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon. My time wasn't on then. Good afternoon. My name is Isabelle, as I've been introduced, for those who don't know me. And as I was preparing for today, God took me to meditate on the scripture that Pastor Reina brought to our church for this year, which is Wake Up the Mighty Men and the Mighty Women. And I just decided, okay, I'm going to study the book of Joel, which is the book where the scripture comes from. And the main theme in that book is the day of the Lord. And there are many prophets that talks about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is the day of salvation, the day of repentance, the day of deliverance. But it's also the day of great battle. And I was meditating on it and talking to the Lord, and he showed me a picture, quite a funny one. I don't know who of you know the Power Rangers. If you don't know, you can Google afterwards. Don't spend too much time watching them. So the funny thing about the Power Rangers is that every single episode was the same. They would have individual battles, so they would be fighting against different enemies and winning different things. But in the end, there would always be a great battle, something that they couldn't handle on their own. And then they would unite their powers, and and then they would win that battle. They would destroy that enemy. And I thought that was the word that God was bringing for us, that he's not just waking up the mighty men and the mighty women, but he's waking us up in unity, and we are going to be strong together. So there are certain things that he has already awakened in your heart, and that thing will come to power as you come together. And there were three different themes that he took me to meditating, being together. And the first one was one God. So the believing one God is what unites us. But I don't know if you listened to Marihan's sermon 2 weeks ago about sonship. She was telling us that our broken view of God, because of our hurts, because of what we've been through, interferes in the way that we see God and interferes in the way that we see one another. The way that we perceive God will dictate the way that we relate to one another. And she was really encouraging us to get to know God, to really read the Word and to get to know Him. And I was just thinking that, yes, the Lord is pursuing us, and He is. But the scripture in Isaiah 55 also says that Seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon his name while he's near. And this is not a fear condemning word. It's really an encouragement. The Lord is near and he's pursuing you. So come to see him. Get to know him. And in getting to know him, we will become one. And the second thing that he spoke to me about was this scripture for this afternoon, which is the people in the city whose designer and builder is the Lord. And I was thinking about the designer and what that means. And I went into the dictionary, and the designer is someone that plans ahead, someone that decides how something is going to look like before it has been built. And I was really, really convicted that I'm willing for God to be the builder of things in my life, but I'm not really willing for him to be the designer. So many times I want to design my own plans, how my family is going to look like, what job I should have, what should happen. Even the people that I'm reaching out to, I want to be the designer of that, and then I pray that God will build on that. And the problem is that many times it won't happen, and then you will doubt God's faithfulness, you will doubt his character, and even worse, you will start building on your own. And what that means is that each of us will be building our own houses, we will be building our own things, and we won't be building the house of the Lord, we won't be building together. So he wants us to come to him and find out what is his design, how can we build together what he is building. And then the third thing is about being one people. And God gave me this picture of a wall, and this person was pushing this wall, and this wall would move, but it wouldn't move very far. And I sense that there are intercessors, there are prophets, there are preachers, there are teachers in this church, and there are things that God has showed to you, healings that will happen, people that will get saved, and you're just feeling frustrated that things are happening too slowly, things are not moving as fast as you thought. And I asked God why, and I felt that it's not our individual missions. We think that it's the thing that God showed to us, and it will happen to us, and we will see, but he actually wants it to happen together, and we'll be pushing this wall together, and this wall will just move very fast, and it will move very powerfully. And I was just thinking of many things that would encourage us to be and together, and don't be quick to forgive, and don't be quick to anger, love one another, and all of these scriptures that we should read, and we should seek a scripture, because that's how we're going to get to know the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word, but I was thinking that this unity is actually going to flow naturally from knowing him and from seeking him. And I just wanted to share something with you. 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you all know, but there was a super moon. Who went to see the super moon? Okay, so for those that don't know, the moon 2 weeks ago was 15% bigger than its normal size, and I think that 15% brighter as well or something. So we went to the mountain to see the moon, and when we got there were just so many people. There were families, there were young people, there were older people, everyone in such expectation, such anticipation to see that moon coming up. And everyone is just like, is it there or is it there? And everyone is trying to find out exactly the place, exactly how the moon is going to come up. And I was just thinking, wow, there is so much expectation and anticipation to see a creation. What much more there would be to see the creator of all things. And I think that God is bringing us together, and he's taking us out of our houses, and we're going up the mountains, and we're going into the streets, and we have that anticipation and expectation to see God, to follow him, to seek him, to see him in every single circumstances. We'll see the creator. And I think that I am done.
Hello. hi, my name is Jamie. Hi, Lindy. I think when I was thinking about the preaching today, and I just thought about this generation that we're part of. Like, we're such a generation that's so full of zeal and passionate about everything that we do. We want to make a difference. We want to go out and change the world. We're passionate even about ice cream. We post it on Facebook and everything. I mean, really. We're a generation that passionately wants to go out, but without knowing exactly what we're going for. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And I think the Lord is waiting for his people to say, here I am, send me, with the same passion and the same zeal that we say, I'm going to protest for fees must fall. I'm going to run a marathon or whatever. The Lord is looking. We are a generation who's passionate, and we need to be passionate about the things that God has called us to do. And we're not. We're not being passionate about that. We're actually being quite apathetic to what the Lord is calling us to do. So what is the Lord saying? What is he awakening you to do? What is he sending you to do? While I was praying for today, the Lord showed me two pictures. I mean, this picture of two beautiful buildings, but they were so different. Each so intricately designed and made, the windows, the vines, just the way it was done. And then the Lord started to show me that both these buildings are different. They're beautiful in their own way, but they're different, and they have a different function. It's like, for example, a hospital and a church. Can a church function as a hospital, or can a hospital function as a church? No. We are the people of the city whose builder and architect is God, and we need to stop comparing ourselves to each other. I think that's a thing that robs us of what the Lord has called us to do and what we've been awakened to do, because we're so busy comparing. I mean, the other night, I think it was Thursday night, and I had prayed and whatever, and I was going to bed, and then something had happened, which I'm not going to say what happened, because it's, yeah. Anyways, and I realized I was so angry, because how come that person got to do it and I didn't get to do it? What makes them more better than me or more worthy than me? And I realized, and I was so frustrated. I was like lying in my bed, like tossing around, like turning, and I'm like, but I also want to do it. I'm also good enough and whatever. And the Lord said, stop comparing. You're busy comparing, but I've called you to do something, and I've called that person to do something. Why are you comparing? We're so busy, caught up in comparing with each other, that we forget that what the Lord has called us to do. Whether it's called to preach, whether it's called to lead worship, whether it's called to serve, whatever it is, you're missing what the Lord has called you to do. And the second thing is distraction. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run in endurance the race that is set before us. What are the things that are weighing us down? What are the things that are holding us back? We need to be awakened for the sake of God's people, because if we're not awakened, people aren't going to get saved. The Lord's going to use somebody else. People aren't going to get discipled. People aren't going to get healed. We need to be on God's agenda. We cannot allow things like comparison and distraction to keep us away. It's just, it makes me so angry, actually, and frustrated that we allow this stuff. Even in my own life, I'm like, I think I'm at a place now that night when I was just so comparing myself with other people, I realized I'm so angry at comparing myself to other people because I'm missing what God is doing. I'm missing it. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. We need to be awakened. And then going into being one, like the rest of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look to Jesus. We can't stop comparing ourselves or stop or move away from distraction or anything like that if we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus. I think Marikin preached about it a few weeks ago, but there's no place for envy in being one. And she spoke about fixing our eyes on Jesus. If we lose sight of that, we lose sight of God. We lose sight of his plan for our life. And we're so busy with other things because we're looking here, but we're supposed to be looking here. Then we won't worry about, oh, look at that person's building, how nice it looks. And mine actually doesn't look so nice. No. And then secondly, unity through humility. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, let us esteem each other better than himself. We need to develop a culture of celebration and serving each other, because that's what's going to bring us one. Not comparing, not being jealous, not being envious of each other, but serving and celebrating. Look, Tapiwa has an amazing calling on his life, and I'm celebrating what the Lord is doing in his life. He's an amazing worship leader. And then lastly, accountability. I think sometimes we only want to be accountable for what we're doing wrong in our lives. We want to be accountable for sin. We want to be accountable for lust. We want to be accountable for everything under the sun except what the Lord is calling us to do. So what is the Lord calling to you? Get a partner, pray about it, and let that person hold you accountable for what the Lord is calling you to do. Oh, I'll quickly pray since I have some time.
Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have a calling and a purpose for each and every one of us, Lord. That you're awakening and you just the people of God, Lord. We are the people of the city of God whose builder and architect is God. Thank you, Lord, that we'll fix our eyes on you, Lord, and know that you are perfecting us, Lord. That we will allow you to be God, Lord. We'll allow you to be the builder. We'll allow you to be the architect and not us. And Lord, we repent, Father, Lord, of where we've tried to build, Lord. Where we tried to design, Lord. But we pray, Father, Lord, that you come and remove the places that we've built. You remove the places where we've designed and you come establish the foundation because you are the builder and you are the architect now. In Jesus' name, come and awaken our hearts to what you're saying and what's on your heart and what's on your agenda. In Jesus' name.
Okay. Evening, church. So I'm just going to get into it, okay? As the people of the city of God, we need to be a people that move only in response to the voice of the builder, okay? And my key scripture is going to be John 10:27, okay? And it says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Okay, so I'm going to have three key words, and my first key word is the word know, okay? John 10:14, it says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Okay, now the word know here, it speaks of relationship, okay? As the people of the city of God, we need to be a people that walk in, that pursue a relationship with the builder, okay? And how do we pursue this relationship? Obviously, we all know that it's through spending time with the builder, okay? And being at his feet and, you know, spending time in his presence. And when we go to the book of Revelation 21, it speaks about the New Jerusalem. And it speaks about the holy city, you know, a city that has been founded by God. And I'm just going to read Revelation. I'm just going to read verse 3. And it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them. And they will be their God. And, you know, like in Hebrews, it talks about how Abraham was looking for a city that was founded by God. And how was Abraham going to know that city was founded by God? Because his presence would have been in that city. And so as a people of God, we need to be a people that dwell in the presence of God, that spend time in the presence of God. And it's from that place that intimacy is birthed. In other words, our relationship with God is deepened as we spend time with God and we spend time in his presence. And and also, it's also in that place where we find out what his heart is. You know, we find out what his heart is for the city. That leads me to my second keyword, which is the word here. Okay? John 10:5, it says, the sheep will never follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize his voice. And this, for us, it tells us that we need to recognize, we need to be a people that are able to recognize, that are so familiar with the voice of the builder that we are able to resist all the other voices. And, you know, and we also need to be able to distinguish between the voice of the builder and the voice of the stranger. And also, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, you know, and hearing by the word of God. And that's where we get that hearing. That's where we get to be familiar with the voice of the builder. And also we're able to, you know, to know when the enemy is the one that's ministering to us and God is ministering to us. And also it's also in that place when we spend time in the word of God that our hearing is sharpened, you know, and also our sensitivity to the voice of God is also increased in that place. And I love how, you know, John says, you know, he uses the word listen. You know, I don't know whether it's, yeah, in the NIV, he uses the word listen. As a school teacher, I know that there's a difference between when my children are just hearing me and when they're listening. And the word, you know, the word listen, it means to pay close attention. So as a people of the city of God, we need to be the people that position ourselves to listen. We need to pay close attention to the builder. And, you know, to the voice of the builder. And also we need to pay so that we can fulfill our role effectively as the people of the city. We need to pay close attention to the instructions of the builder. Okay. And this leads me to my third key word, which is the word follow. John tells us that the response of the sheep, okay, is that when after they listen, they follow. And that word follow speaks of obedience, okay? You know, we all know that, you know, the word says that we shouldn't just be hearers of the word, but we should also be doers of the word. And, you know, often the thing that stands, that holds us back from being doers of the word or being those that obey the Lord or those that are, that follow the Lord is fear. You know, and fear also, you know, it comes from us not really believing that God is who you say he is, that God is who he says he is. No, we don't know the builder, and therefore we fear. And, you know, Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. And you know what else also comes by hearing? Fear. You know, and that's why, you know, the media, when you look around in the media, when you listen to the media, there's a lot of negativity, you know, that's been spoken. And a lot of the stuff that are spoken in the media is stuff that instill fear in the people. You know, and the enemy knows that when he ministers fear into the people, that will cripple us. And when we are crippled, we are unable to do the will of God. And, you know, and faith does the opposite, okay? I'm going to conclude with Daniel 11, verse 32. It says, the people who know their God, they shall be strong, and they will do great exploits. You know, first comes the knowing, okay? Like I already said, first comes the knowing. We have to know who he is so that we can find out who we are in him. And once we know who he is and we know who we are, then strength comes within us. You know, we're able to rise up with those mighty men and women of God that we've been talking about. And also, we all know that, you know, before we can go and do mighty exploits, our faith needs to be strengthened. And it's in that place where we're spending time with God, and we're spending time in his word that our faith is increased. And before, and oh, yeah, so when we hear, when we're familiar with his word, you know, it says that faith comes by hearing. As we hear him, our faith is increased, and we're able to go out into our city and to love boldly, and we can go out and become the voice of the voiceless, and just declare injustice where there's injustice, and just go out and stand up in our universities and be the voice for God. So in conclusion, I'm just going to leave you with these three questions. You know, do you know who the builder is? You know, and if you do know who the builder is, are you able to recognize his voice? And the last thing is, when you hear him, is your response always obedience? So I'm just going to also just pray quickly. Just pray that God makes us those people. Okay. Yeah. And Father, I thank you so much, God, that Lord, you are the one who created us, Father God. You are the builder of the city, Father God. But Father, you are the one, Father, that has made us, Father God. You created our innermost being, Father God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that Lord, you've made us, God, mighty women and men of God for you, Father God. And Father, I pray, Father God, that Lord, you cause us, Father God, to become a people, God, that listen to you, Father God. A people, Father God, that move only, Father God, in response to your voice, Father God. And Father, I thank you, God, that Lord, yeah, God, that you will make us, God, a people, Father God, that are able, God, that are so familiar with your voice, Father God, that it doesn't matter, Father God, what other voices out there, God, are ministering to us, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that Lord, we will only hear your voice, Father God, and we will move, God, only in response to that voice, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for a people, Father God, that obey you, Father God, at all times, Father God. Thank you, Father God. We just want to pray, Father God, against fear, Father God, that cripples us, Father God, that causes us, Father God, to not, you know, live fully, Father God, to what you've called us to live, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that you've called us, Father God, to go out, Father God, and do mighty exploits for you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for rising up our faith, Lord God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Yeah, how's everyone doing? Awesome. So we're talking about the people of a city whose builder and architect is God. So I felt there's three things that mark these people, and we find it in Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 19. But before I read it, I want us like to take a moment and realize what the scripture is saying. I'm going to read it. So it's beginning from verse 18. Yeah, it's there. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So I want to start off with a question. What do the eyes of your heart see? I want us to take a moment and really meditate on that. And I'm going to continue after that. You can close your eyes and just engage with the Lord with what do your eyes of your heart see? Awesome. So before people fall asleep, I'll continue. But I guess it's kind of appropriate for the season that we're in. We're waking up mighty men and women. So I'll continue in that. So there's three things that I hope your heart saw, the eyes of your heart saw, is that three marks of these people is that they have a hope in Christ. It's their inheritance as co-heirs with Christ and the great power for them because they believe. So I thought these things are really incredible, especially for the season that we're in as waking up mighty men and women, that when we know these things and treasure them and cherish them, that we live a life of boldness, that we engage with our society without fear. So awesome. So start off with hope. The people of this city are called to a hope that does not disappoint, because this hope is built on Christ, and that their hope is sustained by the love of the Father that's poured out into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. So these people are saturated by the love of the Father because they continually engage with the heart of the Father. And I love this because when perfect love is filled and saturated in our hearts, there's really no room for fear, because fear and love cannot coexist in our heart. Amen. Awesome. So since they love the builder and architect of the city, God says he works all things for their good. Whatever situation that they find themselves in, they know that it's going to work out for their best, because God loves them and they love God. And their promises, they find their yes and amen in Christ, right? And these people have a hope that is built on Christ, and it's an anchor for their soul, firm and secure. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So second thing, yes, we're moving fast. glorious inheritance. Our inheritance is really the foundation of it, is because we were once orphans. And I say that because we come into believing in God the Father through adoption. That Christ adopts us into his family. And what he has, we also have. Because Christ says we are co-heirs with him. So one thing that I want to really echo tonight is that we sons and daughters of God. And we co-heirs with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. And that also means, obviously, we live our lives differently. We don't live out of a life of orphanhood. Being one myself, I know that for most part of my life, I lived out of fear of what was going to happen in the future, because I lacked the promises of God in my heart. And I think most of us as well, I think, find ourselves in that place where we're not sure what God is calling us into, where God is moving. And during worship, Matthew, we were singing about God is writing a story. And as sons and daughters, are we going to be part of the story that he's writing for us? There's a longing as an orphan to belong. And you sometimes compromise even just to belong, because it's such a great need for you to be part of something. And I think what God is calling us into, he's calling us into his family. Especially the season that we're in as sons of God, as mighty men, and the call of our eyes being open to, or rather to be enlightened to what God has for us, it's really, it echoes what Romans 8 says, that I love what Megan was sharing during intercession. I love what God, like, really sets us up. So she was sharing exactly what I had here, Romans 8, about how creation is waiting in eager expectation of the revelation of sons. So creation is waiting and say, we are the sons of God. And my hope tonight is that the people of the city will say, we are the sons of God, and we're going to walk out with boldness. Amen. And one great thing about the inheritance, our glorious inheritance in God the Father, is the presence of God. Is that that's our portion. We have full access to what God has. Like Jesus had, he had full access to the Father. As co-heirs with Christ, we have full access to that. And my other thing that I would like to echo tonight is that may we not neglect that. May we live a life out of that abundance of the presence of God. Oh, amen. Thank you, Matthew. So great power, the final thing. In Luke 24, Christ said to his disciples, wait in this city until you are clothed with power from on high. It's because like Christ never wanted us to live this life devoid of power. Because he knows what we are up against. And I think my hope for tonight is that as I proclaim this, is that our hearts will wake up and we'll see what's against us. And we'll engage with the power that Christ has given us. Because really when you know what's against you, or really when you're sick, you tend to appreciate the medicine more because you know your sickness, right? And my hope is that when we know what's up against us, is that we'll cherish the power that God has given us, which is the same power that raised Christ from the dead, right? That power that exalted Christ in the heavenly places. Yes, before I forget what I'm saying. Yes, they seated him at the right hand of the Father, the same power that they put all things under his feet. That power that exalted Christ above every rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. That power we have access to. And my hope for tonight is that we may live with that resurrection power, right? Because the people of this city as well, we'll be talking about that, they know that they have an enemy who's roaring like a lion, wanting to kill, destroy, and steal and plunder from their great possessions that they have in this city. And because of that, they're so aware that they cannot live this life devoid of power, devoid of the presence of God. And yeah, I think my hope for tonight is that we may engage with that resurrection power that may live in us. Because really it's Christ, the hope of glory in us, that gives us that power. The same power that raised Christ from the grave, really, it's in us and it lives in us, and we have access to that. In every situation we're in our workplaces and our studies, we have that power. And as mighty men, I think, and women, yes, mustn't neglect other people. Is that we may live out of our inheritance as sons, because that's part of our inheritance that we walk in this life. Awesome. So my time is up. Awesome. So let's stand up. And so yeah, we've been sharing tonight about this. What God is really busy doing in our hearts, waking us up to the reality of this life, opening up the eyes of our hearts to see what He's busy doing, what He has given us. I'd just like to pray for us for that not only we'll know this, as Paul says, but it will not only be a head knowledge, but it will be a knowledge that is in our hearts, that directs our lives, that moves our lives in a certain direction that God has ordained. Thank you, Father, that tonight, Lord, that you begin, and for some of us, Lord, you continue the work that you're doing, Lord, in bringing the eyes of our hearts into enlightenment of who you are, what you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I can pray for hearts that really have lost hope, for hearts that are dull, Lord, the hearts that are really dead to these great promises, Lord, that you have for us, Lord. And I just, in this moment, Lord, when if there's anyone like that feels that their heart doesn't really recognize these things or engage with the things that God has in store for them, I really would like to pray with you tonight. So I would really like to pray for you, for your heart. If you feel like you're at that place where you really the eyes of your heart are not really open to you, to the great promises that God has for you. So wherever you are, even at the back, I'm quite short, I can't see at the back, but just come to the front. I'll pray for you. As also, if you're here and you feel like you're an orphan, like I was sharing, like, being an orphan, you really want to belong, and you when you feel that there's no place for you, there's no people that love you, and you really are in a desperate situation where you seek it in places where there's no love, and that tends to to kill the emotions that you have that makes you a shell of a human. And I really want to come and really invite you into the family of God, where His love will saturate your heart, that your life will be set into trajectory that is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And really, if there's anyone that really feels distant to the Father, that does not hear the voice of the shepherd, really, I really would like to invite you into your family, to your family of God, and into the open arms of the Father that he's really waiting to welcome you into His family, to love you, to saturate you, to really engage your heart with the promises that He has for you. Because once you know who you are, you know what to do. And I feel that there might be some people here that do not know what to do. It's because they do not know who they are. And they want to pray for you to come to a place of sonship, to know that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High, that you're a co-heir with Christ.